I was a precious, precocious nerd, you know, preteen when this came out. I was 14 or 15 when this movie came out, and I was oh man, I was such a dork. My favorite book was a book of lists of David Letterman top 10 lists. That was my favorite book, and I carried it around in my backpack, and I would take it out in class, and I would sit there and read it and chuckle to myself.
And the other kids would be looking at you like, "God, it's free."
Well, no, but, you know, let me ask you this, Kurt. Let me derail slightly. Were you reading it conspicuously so that people would ask you, "What are you laughing about?"
No, not after the first time.
Yeah, this is like me reading Infinite Jest, like the actual original edition, the hardcover, not the like paper, the soft paperback on the MTA on the subway, so that people notice. You know.
but shaking or nodding your head to indicate, you know, what the popular opinion
exactly
should be.
I'm shaking my head in disapproval at that horrible Ebonics chapter, the AABE chapter.
Oh God, Yeah, that's a real chapter, isn't it, in that book?
Kurt, you were going to say something. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, the reason that I saw this movie, which I was obsessed with, although I don't know that I ever actually watched it a second time, mm-hmm. Until, you know, today when I was rewatching it to do this. But I watched it solely on the strength of a Norm MacDonald joke where he was making fun of Larry King on Saturday Night Live, and he would do this sequence where he would kind of dress in that, like, you know, the blue dress shirt with the white power collar. I forget what they call that, like stockbroker style, and the suspenders, mm-hmm. and he had like the mm-hmm. whole, like, he had like a Larry King wig on, and he would just say things in kind of a Larry King voice. And one of the ones that he did was he turns to the camera and he goes, "If you only see one movie for the rest of your life, it should be Gattaca." And I was like, well, I'd like Norm MacDonald. I wonder what this movie is. And I went to the video store and I got it. And I loved it. I fucking loved it.
So, see, yeah. I rewatched this. I know I saw it a long, long time ago. It's one of those movies that, like, you kind of like, I mean, I was 7 when it came out, so I definitely didn't see it when it came out. But it's one of those movies that you watch when it probably comes on, like, I don't know, maybe Showtime during the day or something like
okay,
that.
Which
makes a lot of sense, actually, because I when I looked up the Wikipedia as just kind of refresher to see if, you know, production news, production history and shit like that. Apparently, Showtime was supposed to have a miniseries based on Gattaca, but it was canceled, I guess, last year in 2023. So, I don't remember, like, honestly, when I watched it again for the first time, because I know I saw it before, but when I watched it again for the first time last year, I didn't remember anything about it. And we'll get into it, but I mean, I feel like this is in a canon of maybe 3 sci-fi movies, like kind of cerebral sci-fi films from the mid to late 90s to really, I guess I would say, even early 2000s. I mean, Contact is obviously part of that, right?
Yeah, I was, mm-hmm. yeah.
Contact is part of that. But then even a little bit further, though, I would even say something like Minority Report.
Or 100%.
AI,
oh, yeah.
And
oh,
then
yeah.
a little bit later, Children of Men. And one thing I want to say, too, I think that people should, this is, don't want to get too off topic, but I'm just bringing up this book because, I'm stealing this idea from his book, but Fred Sharman, who wrote Space Forces about the history of space exploration and a critical history of outer space, he talks about 3 films in the 70s that were these dystopian films that were kind of a response to the Gerard O'Neill sort of 70s utopian optimism that we were going to have, like, you know, these cylinders, O'Neill cylinders in space, and that science was going to be able to solve all of our material and social problems, all the shit. And those 3 films were Logan's Run, Silent Running, and Blade Runner, you know? And I feel like, and just to close it out, I feel like this film, Contact, and probably a couple of others I mentioned, which are kind of peppered out through the late 90s to early 2000s, they really are a part of this canon of that time when I really feel like, I mean, they were just some of the last really, really good sci-fi films that weren't adaptations from fucking YA novels or, I mean, purely, I mean, not that purely dystopian is a problem, but it didn't feel like a reaction to futurelessness. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think it would be interesting to compare, to kind of compare and contrast those three eras that, or that you just brought up, or I guess two eras, and then, like, if you look a little bit further into the future. Because a movie that's kind of similar to this, but was made, you know, 15 years later, yeah, about that, something like that, maybe 12 years later, is Moon.
Mm, but I like that one with Gary Oldman.
Yep.
Gary Oldman, Rockwell. Sam Rockwell.
I don't know why I confuse these motherfuckers all the time. Sam Rockwell. Yeah.
No,
you're not wrong. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, all white people look alike, so no. I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, certainly when they're clones, they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, everyone. What you just heard is a preview of our latest exclusive episode. To hear the rest and to access our entire catalog of exclusive content, as well as our patrons-only Discord chat, become a patron at patreon.com/podsidepicnic. That's where you can support our work and make sure you get access to everything we do. patreon.com/podsidepicnic.